How's everybody tonight? Are you blessed? Highly? Are you joyful?
Yes.
You have the power to choose. Choose joy. I'm telling you what, man. A lot of miserable Christians out there. I tell people, if you're miserable, don't go out. And don't tell nobody you know Jesus. Hallelujah. Would you turn to the book of Galatians, chapter 5? Praise God. Oh, yes. Galatians, chapter 5. Welcome to Holy Ghost Boot Camp Officers Training School. These are training sessions. We don't do Bible studies. Trained for reigning, right? Training for what?
Reigning.
Glory to God. Galatians chapter 5. Is everybody there? And we're going to start at verse 19. Hallelujah. Is everybody there? Let's speak it. Now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, which means addiction, drugs, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and anything like it, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I also told you in time past, that those who what? Those who what? Those who what? Practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Those that practice such things don't make it home. Now, what's very, very important here is what he's showing. And if you go to the next verse in 22, it says, but the fruit of the Spirit is what? Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control, or control over self. Against such there is no law. So what he was explaining was there is a presence, and you can tell the presence by its fruit. So he said the works of the flesh are being influenced by a presence. It's called a false presence. It's a counterfeit presence of God. It's a false presence. But it's a presence of demonic forces. And in that presence, it releases an influence. Now, we've heard this before, and I want to go back to it again, because I think it's important. Every thought has a voice. Say it with me. Every thought has a voice. Every voice has a what? A presence. Say it with me again. Every thought has a voice. Every voice has a presence. Now, every thought releases a picture or a vision. It, two things the thought releases. It releases a picture and a vision or a vision and emotion. Every thought releases an image and an emotion. Say it with me. Every thought releases an image and emotion. Again, every thought has a voice. Every voice has a presence. That presence is either of God or not of God. Now that thought is going to release something. That thought will release an image and an emotion. Does everybody get it? Why? Because the presence of evil will try to get an emotion released so it can get fed. Does everybody get this? And when that emotion is released and that spirit gets fed, it gets stronger. So in this, we've got to understand that we are being influenced by a presence. And if we don't discern the presence, you'll be deceived. That presence promotes three things: lust of the flesh, lust of the eye, and pride of life. That's the evil presence. Those are the three emotions, the three things it wants to impress in me and you. Why? Because it gets fed by those things. Lust is an emotion. Addiction is lust. Why? Because it's an overwhelming desire. If it's an overwhelming desire, it's lust, no matter what it is. Is everybody okay? Everybody got that? This is what we're talking about, false presence, because this is how people are being deceived and taken out because of a false presence. And they can't even discern the false presence. They're not even judging the fruit of what they're thinking. You see this? Who told you that? Who told you that? They're not. People aren't even considering what they're hearing. They're just doing anything that they hear. They speak anything they hear. And they think it's okay. They judge anything they hear. They're not even judging by fruit. And what it does, it keeps them in the cycle of deception. And that demon is constantly getting fed, because the one thing they want to do is not be known that they're a part of your life. I want you to know that every decision you're going to make is going to be influenced by a demon presence or a Holy Spirit presence. One or the other. And every decision has a ripple effect, because it causes you either to sow in the flesh where you reap corruption, or sow in the spirit where you reap life. One or the other. That's why some people never get out of the cycle. They stay in that arena because these presence of evil, these demonic forces, put limitations on people's lives. They influence to bring division. They influence for pride. They influence for self. All of these areas, it's me, myself, and I. And let me tell you, when me, myself, and I is involved, spirits are being fed. Demonic forces. Is everybody okay? 1 Timothy chapter 4. This is an end time delusion. Has everybody got it? This end time delusion is a delusion where people are not seeing the presence of evil. They're not seeing it. They're not even sensing it. They're just going by anything they feel. Isn't that, listen, Satan's doctrine is do what they feel like. And people that are led by how they feel, they're the most dangerous people in the world. We can't allow emotions to influence our decisions. We must allow truth to. Well, man, I just don't feel like it. Well, too bad. So there's an area where you and I got to get in God's presence. That's the real presence. You have to fight for His presence. Because when you get in His presence, you change. Then you want more of Him. And let me share something with you. In His presence, when He speaks, there really isn't any words. It's impressed. And there's peace, there's joy, and there's a fruit of righteousness, because He's always releasing righteousness. When you start having the thoughts of God, the fruit will be righteousness. Any other fruit of a thought that's not righteousness is evil presence and evil influence. Okay, 1 Timothy chapter 4. False presence is tonight's teaching, just in case you want to know. Hallelujah. False presence, and there's plenty of it. And again, God's children are not recognizing it. They're just not recognizing it. Let me share something with you, that there is a presence that rules this world, and there is a presence that overcomes this world. I'm going to say that again. There is a presence that rules this world, and there's a presence that overcomes this world. And I'm telling you, the anointing is the most wonderful, wonderful, wonderful presence you could have. It is the ultimate high. Why? Because it's home. And everybody wants to feel good because that's where you came from. You came from the presence of God, which is the greatest feel good. The problem is the presence of this world offers a counterfeit presence. It's called dope. That's why people get dopey. It's called lust. It's called alcohol. It's called cigarettes. It's called pornography. Everything that's unclean is a counterfeit presence of God. That's why the Bible says, come out from among them and don't touch what is unclean. And then what? I'll be a father to you. Why? Because God doesn't associate with any other presence but his own. Oh, glory. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1. Let's read it together. Now the Spirit expressly says that in the latter times some will what? Depart from the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits. Now where you see spirit or spirits, it represents presence. Deceiving what? Presence. And doctrines of demons. Isn't a demon a spirit? Okay, so there's going to be a doctrine of a false presence. Counterfeit presence of God. Speaking lies. Hello. Speaking what? Lies. Let me tell you, every presence of evil speaks a lie. In hypocrisy, having their own conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from foods which God created to be received with thanksgiving by those who what? Believe and what? No, he's saying, listen, man, there are those who believe and even know the truth who don't even recognize the presence of evil. Why? They're going to fall from following the Lord. They're going to fall from the faith, taking heed to a presence, a false presence, counterfeit presence of God. And at every demonic force, every demonic presence has a doctrine. And it's called a lie. Is everybody okay? Verse 4, for every creature of God is good and nothing is to be refused if it is received with thanksgiving. For it is sanctified by the word of God and prayer. If you instruct the brethren in these things, you will be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished in the words of faith and the good doctrine which you have carefully followed. But reject, everyone say reject, yes. Profane and old wives' fables, and exercise yourself toward what? Godliness. For bodily exercise profits little, but godliness is profitable for all things, having promise of life, of the life that is, that now is, and that which is to what? Is to come. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptance. For to this end, we both labor and suffer reproach because we trust in the living God who is the Savior of all men, especially of those who believe. These things command and what? Teach. Command and what? Teach. 2 Peter chapter 2. 2 Peter chapter 2. You got to remember, the enemy does not want you to know that he's there. He doesn't want you to know. If you're not willing to expose him, he's going to take advantage of you. He will first challenge you to see what he can get away with. If he knows that you don't know, he'll take more. And he'll take all he can until you finally get to the point of, hey, something's wrong. Something's not right. Does everybody get it? Although some people never even get there. And they stay in that deception till they die. 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 1. Is everybody there? Let's read it. But there were also what? False prophets among the people, even as there will be what? False teachers among you, who will secretly bring in destructive heresies, even denying the Lord who bought them and brought on themselves swift destruction. Wow. Now, wait a minute. You got to understand, if there's a false prophet and a false teaching, there's a false presence. And many will follow their what? Destructive ways, because of whom the way of truth will be what? Blaspheme. But covetousness, they will exploit you with deceptive words. With what kind of words? Deceptive words. For a long time their judgment has not been idle, and their destruction does not slumber. For if God did not spare the angels who sinned, but cast them down to hell and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved for judgment, and did not spare the ancient world, but saved Noah, one of eight people, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood on the world of the ungodly, and turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them to destruction, making them an example of those who would afterward would live ungodly, and delivered righteous Lot, who was oppressed by the filthy conduct of the wicked. For the righteous man dwelling among them tormented his righteous soul from day to day by seeing and hearing their lawless deeds. Then the Lord knows how to deliver the godly out of temptations and to reserve the unjust under punishment for the day of judgment, and especially those who walk according to the flesh in the lust of uncleanness and despise authority. They are presumptuous, self-willed. They are not afraid to speak of evil of dignitaries, whereas angels who are greater in power and might do not bring a reviling accusation against them before the Lord, because God's going to take care of them. This is the end time delusion. It's one of them, one of many end time delusions. Remember, the enemy doesn't want you to know he's there. He doesn't want you to know that he's influencing you. And every thought has a voice, every voice has a presence, doesn't it? And every thought is releasing an image and an emotion. 2 Corinthians 11. False prophets, false teachers, false presence. 2 Corinthians 11. Verse 12. I like Paul because he's to the point. Blunt and bold, and don't give a hoot. Said, here it is. Verse 12, but what I do, I will also continue to do, that I may cut off the opportunity from those who desire an opportunity to be regarded just as we are, and things of which they boast. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. Let me share with you that I have seen that happen. I have seen that happen where individuals claim themselves to be apostles when they're not even, they're the apostles of themselves. They just claim to be apostles. I'm just going to claim to be. The Lord told me I'm an apostle. That wasn't the Lord. And they're out deceiving people and don't even realize it. Oh, they Facebook it all over. I'm an apostle. I'm this. I'm that. Let me tell you one thing. When somebody approaches me and tells me, hi, I'm evangelist such and such, I back up. Does everybody understand that? We don't need to have titles before names. We just need to introduce ourselves for who we are. We are sons and daughters of the Most High before we are anything else. Then when it's time, you can release your position. But you never put your position first. Amen? It says they are, for such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into apostles of Christ. And no wonder, for Satan himself transforms himself into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also transform themselves into ministers of righteousness, whose end will be according to their what? Their works. Their works. So we see that even in this false presence is manifesting false apostles, false ministers, and even Satan himself is behind it all as an angel of light. Look how many false religions have occurred because an angel appeared to someone and said, hey, here's a new doctrine. Although it was not the angel of the Lord, it was the angel of Satan. And people follow and start. Listen, we're not about religion. We are not religious. Jesus is called Lord of hosts. He's the Lord of the army. And what army is that? The army, the eternal army for an eternal kingdom. You and I have been sent into this presence, which is the presence of darkness. Until appropriate time, we were pulled out of darkness and given the presence of light so that we can shine that light and overcome the presence of darkness and rescue others. Does everybody get that? And to do what? Rescue others. Why? Because they're God's children. They just don't even know who they are yet. Unfortunately, some of them aren't ready to be unplugged to the world yet. They still want to live for the world and die for the world. Hallelujah. Galatians chapter 2. This is reality, isn't it? We need to be real. We need to have eyes of reality. We need to have ears of reality. And we need to have a heart of reality. Hallelujah. Galatians chapter 2. Is everybody there? In verse 1. And Paul said, then after 14 years I went up again to Jerusalem with Barnabas, and I also took Titus with me. And I went up by revelation and communicated to them that gospel which I preach among the Gentiles, but privately to those who were of reputation, lest by any means I might run and or had run in vain. Yet now even Titus, who was with me, being a Greek, was compelled to be circumcised. And this occurred because of what? False brethren secretly brought in, who came in by stealth to spy out our freedom, which we have in Christ Jesus, that they might bring us into what? Bondage. Into bondage. Why are they doing that? Because they don't realize that they're being influenced by a presence. They don't even know it. You know, did you ever get, people want to argue with you over doctrine. Don't argue over doctrine. Because if they don't got it, they ain't going to get it. Does everybody get it? Don't get sucked in the ring. Don't argue over doctrine. Especially those religious spirit, man. They can quote scriptures left and right, and you can talk to your blue in the face, and they're going to turn everything that you say around because they're twisted. And they're twisted because they got a twisted presence. Twisted sisters, twisted brothers, hello? Did you ever hear that? I think it was a band one time. Yeah, they were twisted. All right, let me tell you. I think they finally snapped. I don't know. So what happens is the enemy tries to infiltrate. Infiltrate. In the area of fellowships and houses and whatever he can, any kind of, so he can bring a person out of freedom into bondage. To whom we did not yield, he said, submission, even for an hour, that the truth of the gospel might continue with you. But from those who seem to be something, whatever they were, it makes no difference to me, says Paul. God shows personal favoritism to no man. For those who seem to be something added nothing to me. In other words, he said, I didn't care what their title was. I know their presence by the fruit. I was interviewing some individuals for something, and his family came, and they had mentioned to me that they were righteous, and they were from holiness. I said, "Oh," I said, "Is this your wife that's pregnant?" "No, that's my girlfriend." "Nice. Where's holiness, homie? Do you want to have this child? Why don't you want to get married?" "Oh, I just don't." "Do you want to curse on this child?" "Oh, I don't believe in that." Okay. I just left it at that. I'm not going to get involved in no argument. Mr. and Mrs. Holiness. Twisted husband and wife by a twisted presence. This is what's happening now. It's an end time delusion. That's why, do you think people are promoting same-sex marriage? Remember, God didn't create Adam and Steve. Amen? It was Adam and Eve. You can't produce children no other way unless you try to fake it. And they're doing that now too. I mean, it's incredible what's going on. I heard of a kid getting suspended from school because it was a teacher get suspended from school and a daycare because there was a little girl in there that was a girl for 4 weeks, and then on the fifth week decided to be a boy. 6 years old. And one of the teachers was like, "Man, you know," and it was confusing all the other six-year-olds. "What do you mean you're Joanne today and you're Joe tomorrow? Something's not right here." And the teacher was trying to make it easy. And I mean, the parents are twisted. They're twisted. I mean, how many kids, they'll play or whatever, but it doesn't mean that they are. And so this woman got fired from her job because she wanted to protect the child and other children. Of course, that place is in a big lawsuit now. But that was on the news. I'm telling you, things are getting crazy. Why? Because of this false presence that's influencing individuals. In Genesis 25. Genesis 25. In verse 29. Let's read it together. "Now Jacob cooked a stew, and Esau came in from the field, and he was weary. And Esau said to Jacob, 'Please feed me with some of that red stew, for I am weary.' Therefore his name was called Edom. But Jacob said, 'Sell me your birthright as of this day.'" Wow. "But Esau said, 'Look, I'm about to die. What is this birthright to me?'" Do you understand that birthright was a presence? It was a part of an inheritance of God's presence to that person. When you are born again, you have a birthright of an inheritance of God's presence. That's why the word says you are sealed. And I'm going to tell you that the end time delusion is this false presence that's coming to individuals and convincing them to sell their birthright, just like Esau sold his, to get high, to have sex, to have fame. All of these things, lust of the eye, lust of the flesh, pride of life. And they wonder why things are going on in their life and continuing to recycle when they refuse to come into the presence of God to remove and exchange that presence, false presence. Listen, remember, there is a presence that rules this earth and there's a presence that overcomes this earth. And if you're not staying filled with the presence that overcomes, you will be overcome. You can quote all the scriptures you want, but without the presence of God, we're nothing. Does everybody get it? Remember, the Word became flesh. Think about this. The Word became what? Flesh. Did he do anything without the presence of God? No, it wasn't until he got baptized in the Holy Spirit when the presence of God came upon the Word, then he went out. There's a lot of people going out around throwing seed that ain't making no effect at all. Only if you're backed by the presence of God do you pull the sword. Amen? Now, so Esau, verse 32, said, look, I'm about to die, and so forth. And 33, Jacob said, swear to me as this day. So he swore to him and sold his birthright to Jacob. And Jacob gave Esau bread and stew of lentils. Then he ate and drank and arose and went his way. Thus Esau despised his birthright. He actually despised the presence of God. False presence, false fulfillment. False presence, false fulfillment. And that's one of the end time delusions, because the enemy is trying to get you to go after a false fulfillment, because the only fulfillment you and I can get is God's presence. I don't care how much money you make. I don't care how much sex you have. I don't care how much dope you do. You'll never be fulfilled until you fulfill your mission and from God's presence. I don't care how much religion you play. You'll never be fulfilled. I don't care how many kids you have. You'll never be fulfilled. I don't care how many times you get married. You'll never be fulfilled. It's only God's presence that fulfills you, because that's where you came from. You're just looking to get fulfilled from home again. Amen? 1 John chapter 2. Oh, glory. In verse 15, 1 John chapter 2, verse 15, do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the what? Lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is what? Those are the three presences of the world. Under one presence called Prince of Power of Error. And the world is passing away in the lust of it, but he who does the will of God abides forever. So can you do the will of God without God's presence? No way. No way. But people think they can. They actually think they can do the will of God by just knowing the Word. And not without God's presence. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Oh, hallelujah. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. And verse 12. It says, therefore, since we have such hope, we use great boldness of speech, unlike Moses, who put a veil over his face so that the children of Israel could not look steadily at the end of what was passing away. But their minds were blinded, for until this day the same veil remains unlifted in the reading of the Old Testament, because the veil is taken away where? In Christ. The word Christ means in the anointing. Now the anointing is the eternal presence, power, and truth of God Almighty. So it always goes back to the presence. Everything revolved around the tabernacle of God, the whole Old Testament. Why? Because everything revolves around the presence of God. Without His presence, we're nothing. In verse 15, but even to this day when Moses is read, a veil lies on their heart. Nevertheless, when one turns to who? The Lord, the veil is taken away. Now the Lord is the what? The Lord is the what?
Spirit.
The Lord is the Spirit. That means the Lord is the presence. So the veil is taken away by what? The presence of the Lord. The scales are removed. Why? Because when the presence comes, you can see. When the presence comes, you can hear. When the presence comes, it isn't you anymore, it's Him. I love the presence of God. Now, the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is what? Freedom or liberty. Man, it's freedom. Freedom from what? Torment. Freedom from addiction. Freedom from lust. Freedom from everything. Freedom. You don't chase money anymore. You don't chase the opposite sex. You don't chase anything. God brings it to you in His presence. And releases to you strategic plans. He releases strategies to you in His presence. He heals you in His presence. He frees you in His presence. See, one of the things He does is He separates all the other presence that try to influence you when you seek His presence. That's why you get free. See, many people are on medication. It's amazing to me how many believers are on mental medication. Bipolar. Oh my God. That's a lie. It's a lie. It's just nothing but a presence of, it's a false presence of God. It's a demon. And it's just influencing and bringing confusion. In the kingdom of God, there's no such thing as bipolar or schizophrenia or manic depressant. That's twisted. And it's twisted because of a twisted presence. It lies. What's the other stuff they call ADD or whatever? THC. That's a weird presence too. Hallelujah. Praise God. Listen, where there's a false presence of God. Listen, there's even false humility. The word tells us that many will have a false humility worshiping angels and all kinds of stuff. Man, you go in the houses, there's all these statues of angels. Get out. Do you know what a granola is? It's someone that's nutty and fruity. And that's because of a false presence. It's a false presence of God. There's what they call a familiar spirit. Familiar spirits try to counterfeit the presence of God. They're known as divination spirits. I've seen it. They tried to give me a word one day, and they couldn't. Because it was a person trying to get a word to me, and when I bound a familiar spirit, that man couldn't even talk. Because he was associated with what we call a mixed anointing. In Psalm 119, so if you're not filled with God's presence and maintain that presence, are you going to recognize the false presence? Not if you're not filled. You know how many believers go back? They backslide. They start justifying. It starts with one little thing. Just one little thing. A little leaven leavens a whole lump. They justify that one thing. I'll never forget. I walked out of here one day and somebody had just come back and the person says to me, "Well, man, you know, I was a heroin addict. I was never an alcoholic, so I just figured I'd start drinking alcohol." It's called liquid dope. Dope. I mean, how stupid can we be and still breathe? Okay, so I'm not using heroin or cocaine. I'll just use alcohol because it's accepted by the world. So it must be okay. Hallelujah. You know, it took a while to convince that person. That person had to fall multiple times to finally say, yeah, had enough lumps on his head. He needed a helmet. Stupor. Remember what stupor is? It's the spirit of stupor. Super stupid. That's what that presence brings. Man, you got the spirit of stupor. Really? Yeah, super stupid. Psalm 119. Hallelujah. And you want the truth, right? Verse 127. Therefore, I love your commandments more than gold, yes, than fine gold. Therefore, all your precepts concerning all things I consider to be right. I hate every what? False way. I hate every false way. Your testimonies are wonderful. Therefore, my soul keeps them. We should hate false testimonies. We should hate false ways. Anything to do with false, anything that will counterfeit, you and I should hate. Why? Because it's a lie. And it's always a lie, and it'll be all. Nothing's going to change a lie. Amen? 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4. Hallelujah. First John chapter 4 and verse 1. Beloved, do not believe every spirit. Remember, a spirit means presence. Does everybody get it? So don't believe every presence. Don't believe everything you hear. Don't believe everything you sense. Test it. And don't believe every person that's carrying a presence. Test it. You'll know them by their fruit, won't you? Beloved, don't believe every spirit. But test the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. But this you know, that the Spirit of God, every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh, is of God. And every spirit that does not confess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. And this is the spirit of the what? Antichrist, which you have heard was coming in and is now already in the world. In the world. Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. Are you getting this? Good, then I don't have to go through all of this. Because we got plenty of it. Ephesians chapter 2. You know, we got to get to a point where we got to get sick and tired of being stupid, deceived, used, misled. We got to get to that point where, man, I'm tired of it. Listen, God isn't looking at us as bad. He just looks at us being, come on, tighten up. Get in my presence and learn. Didn't he say, come to me? And what? Learn from me. What does he mean? Get in my presence and learn. Why? Because his what? Yoke is easy and his burden is what? Light. Hello, that's in his presence. Other than that, everything else is tough. Get in his presence. That's why you worship till you drop. You sow to so what? That's how you get free. Why? You're bringing God's presence in. When his presence shows up, you disappear. Hallelujah. It's no more me. It's no more I. It's all you. That's when you know his presence has come. You're no longer thinking about you anymore. You just want more of him. Next thing you know, you see his face. He comes and gives you a kiss. Gives you a hug, tells you he loves you. Well, you've pressed through. You've pressed through the outer court, holy place, into the holy place, most holy place, and you're gone. It's no longer you. And anything that was attached to you is gone too. That's the beauty of it. Ephesians chapter 2, is everybody there? In verse 1, would you read it with me? And he says, and you he made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of power of air, which is a presence. This is the presence that rules the world. The prince of power of air. Has everybody got it? The spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience. Hello? Among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in what? The lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as the others. Why? Because that influence, that presence influencing me and you, not knowing that we were children of wrath, we were rebellious, didn't want to know anything about God. Might even believe there was God, just didn't want to know anything about him. He said, but God, who is rich in mercy because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were idiots, dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you've been saved, and raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceedingly riches of his grace and his kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. Wow. Wow. One of the things that the presence of God will begin to expose to you is a presence known as the spirits of past. See, because the enemy can only attack you from your past. And what will separate you from your past in the future is the presence of God. So one of the things that happens is when you get in God's presence, everything gets severed from your past. But then the enemy comes and knocks on the door again to try to reattach everything. No matter where you go, no matter what you do, he's always trying to reattach himself to you in one way or another, known as emotional attachments. Why? Because those emotional attachments, when they are reattached again, because every thought has a voice, every voice has a presence, and every thought releases a image and a emotion. Does everybody get it? So what he wants to do is reattach these emotional attachments to you. Music can do that. That's why we got to sever these things. Certain circumstances, certain things that reflect and try to bring your past up to the present. That's why it's important that we continue to sever the things of our past. People, places, and things, memories, taste, whatever it is. Every day, you just sever your emotional attachments with your children, your spouses, your jobs. It doesn't mean you don't love him. What you're doing is cutting loose, and so the enemy hasn't got access to you. Emotional attachments are important. Why? Because if you're still emotionally attached, no matter, you'll be easily offended. People that are easily offended are emotionally attached. Does everybody understand this? So we want to be free. Why? So that when we are in God's presence, he begins to reveal things to us so that we can cut loose of these things. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's freedom. Where the presence of God, there's freedom. And there isn't anything greater than being free, especially from yourself. Amen? Praise God. Look at the love of money. Look how many people are chasing money. The love of money is the root of all evil. They have exchanged. They chase money more than God's presence. And they believe that by having enough money, it's going to bring them fame. Actually, it brings them shame. Because without God's presence, it's nothing but shame. Amen. Psalm 15. We'll close here. King Saul was a true example of losing the presence of God. And that's in 1 Samuel 16. You can go read it. But he rebelled against God enough times where God said, that's it. Lifted his presence from a distressing demon came and attacked him. And the only way that he can keep that spirit off of him is through praise and worship, where God's presence come and that spirit left. Psalm 15. Let's speak it together. Lord, who may abide in your presence? Hello. Who may dwell in your holy hill? He who what? Walks uprightly, who works righteousness and speaks the truth in his heart. In other words, if you're not going to be honest with yourself, you're not going to be honest with anyone else. And you're certainly not going to be honest with God. And there is no relationship with God if you're a liar. There's no conviction, there's no fear, there's no nothing. You don't even give a hoot. Why? Because you got a twisted presence. And if you were somebody who was walking with the Lord and backslid in that area, it's because you've sold your birthright. But you can get it back. Verse 3, he who does not backbite with his tongue, nor does evil to his neighbor, nor does he take up a reproach against his friend, and whose eyes a vile person is despised, but he honors those who fear the Lord. If you fear the Lord, you love his presence. You respect and honor him. Who swears to his own hurt and does not change. Listen, if you maintain God's presence, you're not going to change. You're going to grow. Who does not put out his money as usual. In other words, he doesn't manipulate. Just because he has money. He doesn't manipulate. He doesn't use people. Nor does he take a bribe against the innocent. He who does these things shall never be moved from the presence of God. Does everybody grab hold of that? False presence. It's an end time delusion. It's exchanging the true presence of God, where people are walking in freedom, to where people are actually exchanging God's presence for a false presence and walking in bondage again. We must know these things. We must be prepared for these things. We are warned of these things. We need to be more sensitive to these things. Amen? Praise God. Father, we thank you for your word. We are honored and blessed. Let your presence continue to guide us, because your presence releases and guides us into all truth. He is called the Spirit of Truth. He is the presence of truth. So, Lord, we welcome the presence of truth. Come, Holy Spirit. Fill us, dress us, and possess us. Surround us with your glory and your presence all the days of our life, so that we may be sensitive to the evil, twisted presence that would try and exchange your presence for theirs. Now, Lord, bless your people. Let them know your presence. Visit them in dreams and visions, and establish your kingdom in them and through them, that they may walk uprightly, never being moved, but walk in boldness and hating evil all the days of their life, in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. Amen. Praise God. Be blessed.